And that music, of course, means it is time for Cinema Chat here on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting along the aside the guy that's playing with my microphone or my headphone volume right now, Russ Collins. How's your headphones working there, Russ?
Oh. They are okay.
Hey, there's a microphone. It's been a couple weeks. We know you were off last week, We need a little warm up.
Coaching, I think.
See the pun about you got to warm up.
Yeah, boy, we do need to warm up. It is cold.
Need some
up
humor
there.
Lessons too, I think.
The Oscars are coming up on September 24th. I just got back from Sundance, and if there's some time at the end of the show, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But we're opening a film that has gotten great reviews. Stars Nicole Kidman. It's called Destroyer, and it's about a character played by Nicole Kidman, Aaron Bell, who went undercover to infiltrate a gang in California. And in the desert, there's tragic results as cops deal with this very difficult gang. The character played by Nicole Kidman continues to work as a detective in the Los Angeles Police Department, but feelings of anger and remorse leave her worn down and consumed with guilt. A good friend of mine who runs the Belcourt Theater in Nashville, Tennessee, where Nicole Kidman lives, is lucky enough to be able to do special screenings with Nicole Kidman when they come out. And so they had a very, very, very good opening for that film. People liked it. It's a tough film. It stars Bradley Whitford and Toby Cabell and Sebastian Stan. And it's a grueling narrative, according to the consensus of the critics. But Nicole Kidman's central performance adds extra layers of challenge, but the film has lingering impact, so it's well worth seeing. Mm-hmm. Although it's not all fun and games, you're dealing with cops and undercover and gangs and all of that kind of stuff. But Nicole Kidman is an amazing actress, and she's actually a very nice person too. So Destroyer is worth checking out for sure. Now, if you haven't seen Stan and Ollie, you are missing a fun film without the grit of Destroyer.
Yeah.
With two excellent performances by John C. Reilly as Oliver Stanley, Oliver
Hardy.
Hardy.
There
and,
you go.
Thank you. And Steve Coogan is Stan, and they're late in their career. It's in the 1953. They're doing a tour of British music halls, and it's about the fact that they had broken up years before. It ends up during the tour, Oliver Hardy really starts to suffer some physical distress, but they keep on keeping on. Just like on very cold days, the Michigan Theater is open because the show must go on.
You know, it's still weird to me to see Golden Globe nominee John C. Reilly. I mean, he humorous guy, funny as heck, but with the Sherlock Holmes movie that was out, Holmes and Watson, which
right.
just got panned universally, it's weird to have him be in two movies out certainly at the same time, where one of them he's being nominated for a Golden Globe and one is being called one of the worst performances of all time. So what a dichotomy in
yeah.
his acting abilities.
Well, he's an excellent actor, and he's actually a very good singer as well. Mm. He was in Chicago. He's an amazing
He demonstrated
performer.
That in Walk Hard, the Dewey
yeah.
Cox story,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is a take on Walk the Line, a humorous take on Walk the Line. He did a lot of performances there on his own, and they pulled it off.
Absolutely. Well, he's a good singer, great training, John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan. And the makeup on this is outstanding. They really...
Oh, you believe it? It's really them?
You really believe it. It's a very, very touching film. Stan and Ollie. It's not going to be around forever, so go check it out, and it's great. On the Basis of Sex is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her early years during law school, and then her trying to establish her career, and then her first appearance in front of a court in terms of a major sex discrimination case, which
right.
is actually sex discrimination against a man. They knew that was going to be the right way to open the door.
Right.
And she was very, very strategic in terms of the cases that she argued in front of courts in the Supreme Court in her early career. She also had a really excellent relationship, and her husband Marty is played by Armie Hammer. And they are a very special couple, and obviously Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a very special lady.
Yeah, different world at that time, and certainly as a strong woman, she needed a strong man. You know, didn't really, I guess that need might not be the right word, but was benefited by having the support of somebody who wasn't demanding that she fulfill her typical womanly role of the time of being a housewife and staying at home. He supported her in her efforts to groundbreak.
Absolutely.
You know, or break ground, and that helped propel her. Certainly could have done it on her own for sure, but always helpful to have somebody that's saying, you know, go ahead, and we'll, in our household, we're going to break gender norms for the time.
And we're going to support it. Yeah, there's a couple that lived locally here, Bob Whitman and Marina Whitman, same generation, same kind of really wonderful support. And it's amazing to see. The performances are also very good. Felicity Jones plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Armie Hammer plays Marty. And go check it out. It's great. Roma, which you can see on Netflix. But
10 Oscar nominations.
Yeah,
we've
been playing it at the Michigan Theater. And it really, really, of course I'm going to say this, but it really does need to be seen on a big screen because the cinematography, it's a beautiful.
Not that you're biased.
Not that I'm biased. There. But the beautiful black and white cinematography needs to be seen on a screen that's bigger than a human being, because the little stuff that's happening in the background literally disappears no matter how close you're sitting to the TV screen.
You know, and that's the typical for this director, that he makes movies that are bigger than life. Gravity comes to mind there.
Exactly.
Certainly as a movie that you really benefited from seeing it in the wide expanse of a movie theater, because there's just so much element in there that it has to be appreciated at that big level.
Sometimes vista matters, and this is actually one that it does, which is the first time we played a Netflix film, and we're happy to do it because artistically it just is so wonderfully superior.
Are our minds changing about Netflix, by the way? I think slowly we're becoming accustomed to, they're actually making good quality movies. I think for many years we thought of them as like the Adam Sandler place where people and comedians go to die, and they push off their scripts that no one else wanted to make. But I think Netflix now really legitimately is being as a force in the movie industry.
Whatever you say, Patrick, they are. They
whatever have, I say, all right.
They are leveraged.
Matt, free tickets to every state theater show for the rest of your life. Whatever I say, it goes this morning, this to FYI.
Netflix is leveraged to the point that they're financing their junk bonds, they certainly buy a lot of stuff, some of it good, but the quantity they buy statistically is no different than what's released into the theaters. Some good, a lot of bad stuff. The biggest concern about Netflix is their financial viability. They're also kind of anti-theatrical, not kind of, they're actually actively anti-theatrical, which just seems silly, but that's their corporate strategy. And despite that, we're proud to play Roma. Shoplisters is maybe the odds-on favorite for the best foreign language film. It is a film about an Asian family who is on kind of hard times. They're kind of like that. They've come up with a lifestyle that works for them, but they literally have family shoplifting sessions. It's about a family that's in distress, that's learning to deal with where they are. It's a very compelling story about this family, and it's nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. And indeed, it may be the one that wins.
Well, a humanistic look at what it's like to live in extreme poverty and the choices you have to make to survive.
Absolutely. A compelling human story for sure on the edges of society. Now, nominated for 3 Oscars is a film that everybody likes. It's another family drama. It's called If Beale Street Could Talk. It's based on a James Baldwin novel. Is directed by Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight last year that won the Academy Award. And it's got great performances as well. And it's literally about an African-American family. Every street, this isn't quite true, but it's metaphorically true. Every town with an African-American population has a street called Beale Street, where African American families live, which is the intention there is to show a certain kind of universality about the film. Barry Jenkins is an extremely compelling director, a brilliant, brilliant director. And If Beale Street Could Talk is not to be missed, not only for the Oscar nominations for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Screenplay, but it's just a beautiful, well done film. Vice has been playing for a few weeks. It's about the it's about Dick Cheney and the Bush administration, Bush 2, Jenna. And there's some great performances in Vice as well. Another film nominated for 10 Oscars is The Favorite, which is a wacky film set in the 18th century during the rule of Queen Anne. And it's about two women who are competing to be her primary supporters. Now, there's a lot of great stuff that's currently playing, including Free Solo, which is nominated for an Academy Award. But opening up at the mall is Miss Bala, which opens up on Friday. It's it's based on a 2011 Mexican film. It's been turned into a Hollywood film. And it's about kidnapping and drug agents and all those things, trying to work themselves through the system.
Yep. And you've got a surprise next week. Speaking of, you just came back from Sundance. You have the Cinetopia Presents Direct from Sundance. That's a week from today, next Thursday.
That's right.
The film has not yet been announced.
It's The Biggest Little Farm, which is a really cool documentary about a family who decides to do environmentally sustainable farming. And it's really compelling. It's a compelling family story.
This is your handpicked choice coming back from Sundance?
It is. It's very, very cool.
And if Russ gives it the thumbs up, usually is pretty darn good.
Biggest
so don't want to miss
farm.
That. Next Thursday, it's direct from Sundance. Cinetopia Presents Biggest Little Farm. This has been Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU. Thanks, Russ, for being here this morning.
Ta-ta from Hollywood and see you on the farm.
This is WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.